Welcome to Shaken and Stirred. It's a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first-timers alike. My name is Evan Atkinson, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex Doherty. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We're in a new studio. We're in your new apartment now.
I know. We don't live together
anymore. This is the first movie we've done since we've lived together. This is very exciting.
This is very exciting.
We have to finish all of these because we made a blood oath.
Yeah.
That if we don't finish all these movies by 2024, one of us will be involuntarily put into a coma. Isn't that right?
Indeed. I'm glad you gave us at least a 2-year buffer.
Yeah.
I think we will need it.
It was a super generous blood oath. Normally they don't. Normally they're a lot more intense than that.
There's a few asterisks, you know, terms, conditions, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today we're watching the 1981 Roger Moore movie For Your Eyes Only. I'll be honest.
We go from For Your Eyes Only to Octopussy.
They really, so I mean, each of these is based on a Arthur Conan Doyle, what's his name? Ian Fleming, an Ian Fleming novel or short story.
Oh, short story.
Like all of these titles come from, most of them, I think No Time to Die and Spectre are like, No Time to Die might be a new one. It's a George R. R. Martin, a Game of Thrones thing where they stopped listening to the books.
Because Ian's dead.
Ian is dead. Ian died, I'm going to say, a long time ago. But For Your Eyes Only, that sounds very spy.
This is very like live and let die kind of like titles.
I know nothing about this one.
Ooh.
Straight up. Maybe we'll start watching a little bit of it and I'll remember a location from that video game Goldeneye Rogue. But that's about my entire knowledge of the Roger Moore movies. So I don't know what's going to happen. What do you think is
going to
happen?
I think it's going to be Europe related. I feel like we're going to have them. We haven't had an anti-MI6 moment, I don't think. So I feel like I think this is going to be him going against the grain, going against his boss.
Oh, like he is rebelling. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He being James Bond.
Yes. You're disavowed. Every spy franchise hits a point where they have to go against their agency.
Mm-hmm. I want a John Wick. We're going to kill you.
A Mission Impossible, a John Wick, fucking all of them.
James Bond.
James Bond.
I think they did do that with what's his face. But that would be
pretty
only...
sure. I'm thinking from Quantum of Solace onwards, all of the Daniel Craig movies, the plot is him going against the orders of M.
Yeah, he does quit a lot.
In this one, his only way he goes against M is just by fucking when he's supposed to be doing spy work, which...
When you say in this one?
In all of them. in all of them. And then you get to the Daniel Craig era and he's like, I quit my job. And...
Daniel Craig actually in real life.
Yes, because he hated being James Bond. I think this movie, where have we not been?
South Africa,
right? We haven't been to Egypt, I guess, was Spy
yeah,
Who Loved
yeah,
Me.
Yeah, as close as we got.
I'm going to say
maybe South America.
Ooh. No, okay.
We got to go to Panama.
There's a big radar telescope fight, but I think that's a way later movie. Okay, and that's in South America. Okay, I'm going to say Africa. I'm going to say, For Your Eyes Only, I think, hot take, there's going to be some, like, eye-related technology. I think there's going to be, like, a biometric scanner
that
requires, like, For Your Eyes
That'll
only.
Be really good get.
I know, but we're going to watch them absolutely fail that premise.
Someone's just going to say that sentence one single time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the I'm From Russia With Love, where he writes it down.
Yeah,
like,
never goes to
confidential.
Russia. Yes. I'm excited.
Me too.
I think it's going to be good. We're gonna watch the movie and come back a little bit more shaken, a little bit more stirred, and let you know our thoughts.
See ya.
Bye. We are back. We watched all 2 hours, 7 minutes of For Your Eyes Only.
It's fine. Good.
It wasn't just for my eyes. It was for my ears and brain. When you come to the movies... Just like Nicole Kidman says in the opening for AMC, the movies are a magical place.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was teleported to a magical place watching them.
You.
Yeah, it was the magical place of watching 4 different movies at the same time and trying to figure out which one I should care about at any given moment.
I really didn't. There was a whole thriller moment midway through.
Yeah.
For sure. We had a love story in the middle.
I think here's my biggest review of this movie is everything happens for 5 minutes longer than it should.
Yes.
It's just like across the board. Everything is just like, yeah, all right. cool, we're skiing. No, yeah. I get it. Like, oh, yeah, I love it. Still skiing, though, huh?
Yep.
You have to do the plot now, sir.
Here's a plot. Get ready for a doozy. The opening of this movie is completely unrelated to the plot of the rest of the movie.
It is the entire motivation of the second half of the plot.
The opening before the song where he kills Blofeld?
I forgot that that
Remember happened.
Remember that? Yeah, I forgot that that happened.
Remember the biggest villain in the James Bond franchise getting killed in the opening? The opening of this movie, James Bond is visiting the grave of his wife, who we haven't seen since the movie where she was introduced and died.
What film was that?
It was The Spy Who, it was the George Lazenby one. So it was two Bonds ago because Sean Connery came back. So, okay, so we're at this grave, which is already a crazy moment. Then Chief Bond gets in a helicopter. Blofeld takes over the helicopter, gets in a prolonged remote control helicopter fight with him. James Bond takes back over the helicopter. Blofeld is in a remote control wheelchair for some reason. Kind of forget how we left him.
I think he ended up in a lava situation, right?
No, that was his clone. Jesus, that sentence. They never show the actor's face. So it's just like, we are to know this is Blofeld.
They could have used anyone. Why did they choose?
Just bald. I don't know.
Because they're going to recast him later.
He's in the wheelchair. James Bond scoops him up with one of the skids of the helicopter. And then just neatly dunks him in the chimney of a factory.
Yeah, just gotta kill him off real quick. Set us up.
His dying line, I wrote it down, was, I'll buy you a delicatessen. What the fuck does that mean?
This movie made no sense.
I'll buy you a delicatessen. That's trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's
kind of iconic.
That's the opening scene. Has literally nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Mm-mm.
Then title track plays. Let's talk about the title track. What were your thoughts?
Awful.
It wasn't good.
I got to make a point to say that this one, for the first time, has the person who's singing the song just visually off
singing
through
camera.
I hated it, especially because it's about like for your eyes only. So then they were making eye contact as she sang it. I didn't need it.
See, okay, what if that wasn't the actual singer of the song and it was just like a terrible artistic choice?
That would be worse.
It was just a bad music video.
Yeah, entirely.
For your eyes only. I kind of like it.
It kind of feels like it should just only be playing in someone's dentist office.
Yes. Yes. It was out of like the worst speaker. It was so bad. It was just, yeah, it was a music video with the rest of the James Bond title sequence fair. Going on.
Yep.
Then a boat sinks. It's a naval surveillance vessel for the UK that can order nuke strikes on other countries.
Naturally.
So it sinks, but before they can do the self-destruct, so there's essentially a up for grabs nuclear code launcher thing.
Yep.
In Greece. Then there's this archaeologist who's looking for ancient artifacts under the water in Greece. He finds it, but is immediately killed because he couldn't be a witness. His daughter witnesses the murder and reacts not at all.
Nope. She was actually busy watching the helicopter.
Her name is Melina. She watches her parents die in front of her, doesn't really care too much. So she goes on a revenge mission to kill the guy who killed her parents, does that, runs into Jim Jam.
Mm-hmm. Our boy.
James is doing his thing. Trying to figure out who's trying to take the boat. Where's the boat now? And that's it.
That's kind of it.
Well, okay. That's not it at all.
No.
So on the path to hunt, he finds out it's this guy Columbo, this drug lord who's working with this hitman that he knows about. And so James Bond is going to investigate Columbo, finds him, you know, does the whole James Bond 1-2, sleeps with his wife.
As one does.
She's a mistress. She's a mistress.
I thought there was a whole wife.
No, the line was she's the most expensive mistress money could buy.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was like, all right, pretty cool. So the mistress falls in love with James Bond. They like just start dating, feels like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little weird interlude about that.
They hold hands.
It's great. She gets hit by a car.
The most graphic
way. In the most graphic way. We watch
her. The terrible thing.
You watch her body roll across the windshield hard.
Does he even have the windshield crack?
Yeah.
Which is epic. But
some stunt woman absolutely flung themselves
in the hospital
at the beach buggy and got rocked. So that was crazy. And then James Bond gets saved by...
But then kidnapped.
Columbo.
Right.
And it turns out Columbo actually didn't send that hitman. It was the guy that James had been working for, whose name was...
Crystalis.
Christophilos?
No.
Manny Patinkin? What was it? Crystalis.
Crystalis. I'm almost positive it's something like Crystalis.
Christophilos. Christophos?
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis?
Yes.
Okay, so he, the Greek man.
The one Greek movie.
That's a very Greek movie. Turns out he's the villain.
A twist.
And
the other business part.
Yes. So James Bond works with Columbo to take him down. He retreated to this mountaintop monastery somewhere. It was crazy, like pillar of earth. And there's a monastery on top of it. And there James Bond leads Melina and Columbo and a group of freedom fighters to go to this monastery, take it over. They beat Christopapadopoulos and save the day.
Well, no, he tosses the fucking box of all the information that they were chasing after off a cliff because he doesn't want the Russians to have it. And yeah.
God, that made no sense.
You figured it'd be better if no one had it at all.
So really, the whole movie is somebody forgot to turn off the light when they left the house, and James Bond instead just tries to blow up the light bulbs.
Yeah. And then does indeed have sex on a boat.
And then he has sex on a boat. It really brings us back. Let's talk about some highs and lows for this movie. We'll start positive. What are your highlights?
I would have to definitely say the fits were on point. At one point goes to like a little pool party. Mm. Everyone's looking fly. I don't know. I feel like he was doing some pretty okay things, other than when he starts wearing a sweater vest for the rest of the, or like a little zip up vest for the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. But I was really into the fact that they still had to have a whole fight where people wore monochromatic colors so we know who's on whose team.
Yes.
But they still had to make it streetwear. So you just had a bunch of dudes wearing either all denim.
Yes. They were wearing like little like jean suits.
It was incredible, but still. Oh, and the costumes.
Like the cast of Hairspray came out.
Literally. At one point, Q shows up and dressed up as a father, which is
like a priest,
yeah. Which is incredible. And then immediately after, Columbo's dressed up as a monk and then just wearing an amazing outfit underneath. I don't know. I was obsessed with that.
That was pretty good.
Everyone was just hot.
Some good disguises. I liked it because it was a terrible moment when we're introduced to Melina and she meets James Bond for the first time. He goes, "Who are you?" And she just deadpan goes, "Oh yeah, he killed my parents, so I have to avenge them."
The things she said were just, there was no one behind the eyes.
A positive and a negative. I wrote early in my notes, the soundtrack rips. And I wrote further on, what's happening with the soundtrack? There's like, this has the peaks and valleys of James Bond music.
It was like they were experimenting.
They were like, there was some licensed music. There's like this like funky pop song that was very upbeat and fun in the beginning. And then there is a like weird new wave romantic dream music that's playing in the back while Bond and Melina are in like romantic sleigh ride in the Alps.
Yep.
And there's talking in the background. It's like,
he's making her like feel comfortable.
It was like really weird.
He was like, "You don't need to commit murder. It's really okay. Blah blah blah." And then the man driving the cart was like, "Amore,
amore." One of my pros was when Q and James Bond played The Sims for 2 hours. Q has a new 3D, like, searching algorithm.
Yeah.
And he just asked James Bond for a description of this guy. And he's like, he's white, has glasses. And Q just spends 2 hours going like, how big was his nose? Was it this big? Was it a little smaller? Makes a 3D model of him that catches him instantly.
They were there till closing, just the boys.
I liked Luigi, the Italian Felix.
Oh, he was incredible. He did die in a gruesome way as well, or a sad way, but I liked him in his little car. All the cars were little, which was a big plus for me.
I liked that this movie was, well, I don't know if I liked this actually. This movie was just Winter Olympics propaganda. It was just,
I literally was just reading, so all right, it's all just Winter Olympics.
The biathlon, ski jump, skiing, figure skating, hockey, bobsled.
Like, we got to catch them all.
That's, I just listed that out of memory. That's so many sports in one movie.
Like, we think we're just getting a figure skating girl just for fun. And then, no. We're going to get a Zamboni fight.
Oh, my God, Zamboni fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucked up.
The hockey fight was nuts.
The hockey fight was crazy. Okay.
We got to talk about BB.
We got to talk about BB. BB doll is figure skater. Yeah, all right. Say that out loud.
Well, B-I-B-I.
D-A-H-L. So it's BB doll, but it's baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
Doll. Mm. She's a figure skater who could be anywhere between the ages of 15 and 20.
I genuinely could not tell. The actress, for sure, old.
Yeah, that's what was throwing me off. It's like, right? The actress is like 26.
But Bond was saying he would not have sex with her.
Which is
like,
rare.
What?
Which is terrifying, but she's super horned up for him.
Mm-hmm. She's naked right away.
She loves what he's up to. Her first like intro line,
I don't want to
skate anymore.
I'm pooped.
And I thought that was just wild.
She wore a little cowboy hat for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
She was sponsored by the bad man. So, you know, she came back later.
This movie has a problem that a couple other Bond movies have of, wait, who's the villain again? Because they make their hench person so interesting or like so much of the movie. And then you get to the villain like way at the end. I like that this one had a twist.
Yeah.
I like that he like met with who he thought was the arch villain. He's like, oh, no, idiot. You've been working for the villain this whole time.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. But most of the movie spent time on that hitman guy.
Low light, the mountain scaling scene.
How long would you say that? It's like 10 minutes.
I thought I was falling asleep. I had to make myself eat.
It's just James Bond climbing a mountain to this monastery forever.
Like, watch a man. It's just, it feels so low stakes, even though you're aware that it's really high.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't care.
No.
Just
go up or no?
Yeah. Get to the top of this mountain or stop wasting my time.
And then, of course, immediately the rusher shows up in a helicopter. We're like, yeah. Oh, we could have done that.
A helicopter. He had a hang glider like one movie ago.
Mm-hmm.
Q really let him down with the gadgets,
I think. He's too busy playing dress up, which is, I'll take.
Q just played Sims with him.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Also, a low light would be the underwater scene.
Oh, my God. Wait, there's a whole submarine fist fight in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a scuba diving fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was slow and unnecessary.
They did try to do a nice Jaws moment where they did use the soundtrack.
It was spooky. It was menacing.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, I stick with my guns that everything could have been 5 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me underwater for 5 minutes less.
Mm-hmm.
Ski for 5 minutes less.
Easy.
Climb that mountain for maybe an hour less.
Literally.
Just cut some of it. I don't need all of it.
Like the little part where they have Melina scuba diving. I felt like that was a nice little moment. Very quick, very fast. You got to see her do some archaeology. More of those.
Alex, what character in this movie do you wish had their own spinoff movie?
Okay, well, I feel like me going first is going to be taking away your character.
No, I have a backup.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like my instinct obviously is to go with Columbo.
Of course, Columbo.
You got to go with Columbo and his boys. Oh, I didn't say the most important part about Columbo. His whole thing is that he loves pistachio nuts, and he does eat a pistachio nut in every single scene.
Yes.
He's never not eating nuts. He uses them even to like catch people.
Columbo is a nut munching madman.
Mm-hmm. He's got them at all of that.
He also has a badass line when he's first introduced. And he basically captures James Bond, or like saves him, slash the audience thinks he's been killed. And he plays back a recording he took of James Bond going like, I'm going to go kill Columbo. I just need to find him. And then Columbo goes, I'm right here. Like, what's up? I got your ass.
You know what? We should have known, because there was a whole scene that James Bond is eating dinner with Kristalos, and Kristalos recommends a wine that James Bond says afterwards, I think that wine's really bad and floral. I'd actually prefer to get this type of wine.
For real?
Yeah.
James Bond found the bad guy through bad wine selection.
But he didn't notice, but he should have followed his gun.
Right?
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit. That's fascinating. I'm going to say Luigi.
He's dead.
Yeah, this is the prequel series about Luigi. This is like they're making a prequel series for Rogue One about Cassian Andor. He dies in that movie.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
But Luigi, up to?
Love that.
What was it like on the Italian The Secret Service?
No.
Why is, like, he's just a precocious little guy. James Bond leaves him in his car and goes, don't press any buttons, Luigi, and Luigi died.
Yeah.
Not because he's pressed buttons, but oh, fuck, I like Luigi. I'm imagining him. He seems cute. What was your biggest Bond moment? I'll say the worst Bond moment is James Bond eating Blofeld into a chimney.
It could have been the best, though.
That's insane that happened.
That, I mean, the way that he picked up that wheelchair felt offensive.
What if the next Thor movie starts with Thor pissing on Thanos' grave? And then like, just going like, well, anyways, I'm going to go fuck off to Greece.
So
like,
here's a whole new storyline.
I mean, like, fine, get away from Blofeld, but also, like, just don't put him in the movie. I'm not going to ask.
I have a note in here that just says Minister groans.
He did. The minister who's replacing M in this movie, not the prime minister, just Minister of Defense. And every scene he said, he just goes, rrr, rrr, rrr.
Yeah, the whole conversation just says,
That's good. I love that the minister was just having a really laborious time trying to stand up from a desk. My favorite Bond moment, I think, was the most badass Bond moment of the movie. And it's when he takes revenge it's kind of ironic. He spends the whole movie telling Melina that revenge is a terrible idea, and then gets revenge for Luigi halfway through the movie.
By kicking off a cliff.
He crashes the guy. The car is teetering off a cliff. James Bond throws the calling card he left on Luigi's body, and then goes like, shh, that's for Luigi, and then kicks the car off a cliff.
And the dude has his first line, which is, as he reaches for the window.
Yes. When that German guy threw a motorcycle in this movie.
Remember when we just randomly had, Tywin Lannister.
Celebrated British character actor Charles Dance plays a character who doesn't speak in this movie called Klaus.
This movie does pass the best of all times.
Wow. Yeah. That's important to remember. Very important to think about. Alex, what would you rate this movie out of 10? You can look at your previous scores.
Why have I been rating these movies so high?
Because they're good movies.
I'm going to have to adjust like half of these, I feel. I'm going to give this one 5.5. I thought it was pretty good. Overall, like, entertained me, but a lot of it I didn't want.
Yeah. I don't think I would ever watch this movie again. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay.
Because there's no character in this, including James Bond, that I was like, got to figure that out, except Columbo.
Yeah, but Columbo rocked. The Bond girl wasn't bad.
We have two more Roger Moore movies. He's already looking real old.
Wow, we still get him for another 4 more years.
Octopussy is next.
And honestly, we're not talking enough about how Monty Penny looks like she is. Way out as well.
Money Penny is like 70. What's weird is, as Roger Moore's aging, they're starting to have a really sweet dynamic. He like gave her like a flower and a kiss on the cheek and like a hug
before him,
and like it was just really slow and tender and nice. I mean, we'll find out how many women he beds in Octopussy, but I have a guess.
Oh, no. I hope it's 8.
That's all for your eyes only. This has been for your ears only. Don't share it with anybody else.
0.
We recorded this just for you. We'll catch you next time. Goldfinger.
Yow.